right, we'll circle back to the Texans here in just a second, but I was if I was a little distracted in the previous segment, it's because on a personal note, people that listen to the show probably remember Charlie Davis, who is my daughter's boyfriend. They live together up in Boston. They've been dating for several years now, 5 years. We hope it's going in the direction it appears to be going in, which I think it is. He was on Survivor 46. He was on the 46th season of Survivor. This is probably, Seth, 2 years ago now almost, because they do two seasons a year. They're coming up on season 49 here shortly. And then season 50 is an all-star season where they invite people back from previous seasons, going all the way back to season one. They invite 20 or so contestants back to have an all-star season of Survivor. If you remember season 46, if you listen to this show or watch the show itself, Charlie was the runner-up. He looked like he was going to win the thing, and then last-second swerve, he ends up the runner-up in all of it. Still did a really good job. Super proud of him. Played the game fantastically. It was just announced on CBS Mornings just now by Jeff Probst of Survivor, the host of Survivor.
And from 46, it was a cruel summer when he lost in the final three. The question is, can he shake it off before Survivor 50? Charlie,
man. He's back. He's back for season 50 of Survivor.
Back up to the show.
Yes, he got the call.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Super.
Sent him on the bus from Sugarland.
Yep.
It was just last year, by the way, Sean.
Was
May 22nd was the finale of the 2024.
Okay.
Of the Survivor 46. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
You remember because they filmed it the previous summer.
Yep.
So it was two summers ago that they filmed it. But I didn't know anything about any of it really until we were watching. I became a Survivor fan, and I was going to watch every season after that.
I know.
Except I haven't watched a single episode.
I've only watched them because Amy's picked it back up now since Charlie's season. She loves reality shows. Like, she loves Big Brother. She loves The Bachelor shows, Dancing with the Stars, the whole thing. She watches all of them. So she's picked Survivor back up. That's right. Yeah, because they just finished 48 like last week. So that would make sense. 47 was in the wintertime, and then 48 just happened. So this will run next spring. But I know this, like Charlie and the rest of the cast, they're on planes today and tomorrow to go film this season 50. So my daughter and Charlie have known about this for a while. I hadn't been paying much attention. And then across my timeline this weekend, a video dropped. It just got curated onto my timeline or algorithmed onto my timeline. A video drops of a prediction of what the cast for season 50 was going to be. And I'm like, I'll click this. Maybe this person thinks Charlie's going to be on it. And they did. And then I went to Reddit and was looking at all the strings on Reddit of people who think they have spoilers and whatnot. And it turns out these spoilers were super accurate. The people who knew. And all of those had Charlie. So I haven't called my daughter. Now I've texted with her because it's been revealed. But everything Charlie's had to do relative to Survivor, she's had to sign a non-disclosure also. So once I saw that Charlie was probably going to be on this season of Survivor, I just shut down all communication with her. I didn't want to put
her... You didn't want to be prying.
Yeah.
You didn't want to be the dad that was prying for something, information,
possibly
to use for gambling.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that.
That's got to be stressful as any kind of reality show producer when it comes to the non-disclosures or whatever they have to follow. You got to remember, in any given reality show, you're trying to have at least a few whack jobs on there.
Yes.
So, you've got colorful personalities. Charlie's strength was that he seemed to be one of the most sane of all of them.
Yeah.
So he was the opposite. They don't have to worry about his non-disclosure.
Yep.
I'm guessing that the full 25% of people who sign the disclosures on any given reality show have no idea what they're signing.
Right.
They're so far beyond the realm of normal human reasoning that they got to figure there's going to be leaks. So all those unnamed sources are coming from 100% the actual contestants.
I feel like you're describing Q, who was one of the contestants on Charlie's season, who also got invited back for season 50. And Q,
Ooh.
Q was a lunatic who voted against Charlie, by the way, on the final tribal jury. voted against
and not
Trump.
Based on the way that Charlie played the game, but just for who was most deserving. It turned into a sob story about who was most deserving
of the
this
money.
Show that is all about like abandoning any of your better human instincts and to just be all about numero uno. Like, it's just vicious. No ethics to it whatsoever. He decided to vote based on who is the fluffiest puppy that deserves the most milk.
Someone says on here, I don't know, Sean Houston. I think the Houston is the name of the texter. I don't know, Sean, to make it far in Survivor, you have to be good at lying to people. That is true. There were times during the season where Charlie was on there. I'm like, I sure hope you're not playing Judy right now the same way you're playing, Judy's my daughter, playing Maria or whoever on the show, you know?
And you had to be like, the person who nobody would ever suspect of cheating on their spouse, but who it turns out, like, they die and it turns out they had seven actual wives. And they just, because they were so diabolical in how they lied. So at the very least, Sean, you should appreciate that Charlie might be an effective sociopath. If he was able to pull off the nice guy routine and yet still played the game, ended up betraying his closest ally in the game. He was able to pull it all off.
If my daughter somehow benefits from that, then I'm cool with it. You know, like if
I can't imagine how that might benefit an attorney in his actual real.
He's an attorney in real life. Exactly.
I'm sure he's headed. He's going to be making seven figures per annum.
Well, it's funny because when you win Survivor, you win $1 million. So that night that he lost in excruciating fashion, there was an element, not for me, like it's his million, but my daughter is obviously in a relationship with him. And I'm like, wow, that would have been a really nice nest egg to start your lives with, that $1 million after, you know, whatever it is after taxes. He still got $100,000, so that's good. So he got some money out of it, and $100,000 is nothing to sneeze at. I'll have to ask Judy this. Like, I wonder, given the fact that Charlie is probably going to do very well in life, you know, he's 27 or whatever he is, he's a very successful lawyer, he'll do just fine. I do wonder if there's a dollar amount where he's cool with being the runner-up, because I think his story and the way he lost was probably plays big into him getting invited back. Where if he had won... Would he have rather won Survivor and not gotten invited back to this 50, or would he rather have gone through what he went through and gotten invited back to be with the best of the best to ever play it? You know, like, what is that? There is a dollar amount, but is it $900,000 would be my question. I don't know. But he's a Survivor junkie, so him getting invited back a second time.
He wants to win.
He wants to win,
He did a really good job with all the physical tests and everything because he actually trained for it.
Yeah, he's in shape.
He trained, he built all the games in his... he was like one of these guys that just totally... like He'd spent his whole life preparing for this one moment.
That's not an exaggeration.
It was like the Olympics for him.
It was. Yeah. He won the immunity challenge where you needed extreme hand strength. Like, you had to hold a pulley with a weight on it for the longest. And he held it for like over an hour. And I text Judy. I'm like, has he been preparing for that? And she sends me a picture of her sitting next to him in class. And he's got one of those hand gripper things.
Yeah.
Like, he had spent like time improving his grip. Because of that event, this is before he even got picked for Survivor. He was doing stuff like that.
That's an underrated moment, by the way. I don't know if you had any of those hand gripper things laying around when you were a kid. But a lot of people think, oh, the first time I put 45s on the bar for a bench, you're like, oh, yeah, I feel like I'm lifting real weight.
Yeah.
For me, as a little kid, being able to actually squeeze one of those things completely, I can remember being like, I'm a man!
With a much higher pitch.
You mess with it when you're like 4 years old and you can't even budget.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. It's a big step, man. It's a big step, the hand gripper.
It's a great moment in my life. It's like right just above getting married and having a child.
The gripper,
The first time I gripped fully.
Full squeeze on the gripper. Text message, OMG, so excited. Charlie Survivor is the only one I've ever seen. My brother's a diehard watcher and auditioned once. I'll have to watch this one, Team Charlie. There you go. We're Team Charlie. It'll air sometime next spring, probably.
I was looking around on the application form for Survivor, and it says that they really would like more contestants who are 50 years old or older.
Yeah.
The audience really likes those, you know, especially if they're, doing well physically. I couldn't handle the heat, I don't think. Just some of those, man, I'd be a mess. I could handle the weight loss, but I'd get dehydrated at some point because I sweat so much and then I'd end up, I'd have to get like taken off the island on a helicopter.
Some of the things too, your sheer size Trying to get through some of the obstacle courses and stuff like that. That would be tough.
And any of the things like where you have to hang on a ledge or whatever, those don't the big
or taller people.
The body weight hurts you on that stuff.
Yeah. And yet I would love to see you on that show. I think it would be awesome.
I'd flip out. No. That would be the worst version of myself. I'd be a star.
You'd be a star.
Because I'd be acting so crazy.
Yeah.
But I'd be a star for all the wrong reasons.
It's because you can't eat. You know, like that's the thing. You need your nourishment, you know?
I would prep for it. I would go. I would prep for it the entire year beforehand by being in keto a whole bunch.
Oh, there you go.
That's the key, is teaching yourself to burn fat as efficiently as possible.
There you go.
But I don't know if that would be enough.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. That was the big news. Charlie, back in Survivor. Survivor 50. Go, Charlie. Jonathan Alexander had a piece.
Just one more thing about Charlie.
Yeah.
I'm just really thinking about this now. Yeah, he's got to be out for blood. He's going to win this one. Yeah, I can feel it.
That would be amazing.
He's had a year to regroup and focus, and he's probably never stopped training.
Yeah.
But now he needs to go off to Siberia for 3 weeks. He's got to take any pictures of Judy and get rid of them. Take them off the mirror,
until
weirdly at the very end of his training, Judy shows back up.
Oh.
Like Adrian did.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, Rocky has been just solely focused on beating Drago. He's eliminated all outside world distractions, takes the pictures of his family off the mirror, and then all of a sudden at the very end, she shows up.
Yeah.
That's a weak knee scenario there.
Man. If Judy acts like Adrian did in those movies, I'm disowning her. Adrian, you can't win, Rocky. Like if Judy on Charlie's way out the door for some reason doesn't want him to fly to wherever they're filming this and do Survivor 50 and screams at him about how Q and Joe and all these other guys who I don't know in the cast. You can't win, Charlie. If she did that, I would disown her. If you're channeling Adrian, Judy, change your last name right now.
Or you know what Judy would do if she were Arian is that Charlie wins one of these challenges where he actually gets to read a letter from a loved one or something. So he reads a letter from Judy and it's an escape plan. We're like, we can get you out of there. I just don't know. Oops. You're never going to make it. We can get you out of there. Just be at this spot at the beach at 2 a.m.
Dude,
yeah.
Don't do that.
You're going to die, Charlie.
She's a positive influence. Okay, now people are weighing in on you being on Survivor. Seth could stir up trouble and cause chaos, but could Seth sleep on bamboo, live off of coconuts, and poop in a hole without dude wipes? That's from Brent in the Heights.
Yeah, I could do all that stuff.
Yeah.
I trained myself to sleep on the floor recently. I had to spend a night in an airport, and I was disgusted with myself about how soft I was being. So I spent a couple weeks kind of easing myself into sleeping on a carpeted floor.
Did you really?
Yes.
That's
remember
amazing.
When I was really grumpy a few weeks ago? That was what I was doing.
That was when you were working on it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, man, if that's something you want to accomplish, I'm here for the sacrifice. All right, real quick, let's get to this Jonathan Alexander. Are there any more players, Seth, that you would like the Texans to drop an extension on before the season starts? Because Jonathan Alexander has a list of possibilities and then ultimately kind of assesses whether or not they should do this sort of thing. I feel like the extension window is closed right now for the Texans, especially given what they're planning for in all likelihood next year with CJ and Will, the two most which will absolutely be the two most expensive contracts on the team. Where are you on this? Are there any, and you've got the list in front of you just like I do. Are there any names on here you feel like, "Hey, let's get this guy locked up for a little
while?" No, there's nobody that I'm eager about. I already feel like the Texans are a little too aggressive in re-signing their own guys than I'm 100% comfortable with. Finding it hard to relinquish the old ways where, man, if you want to get an extension after 3 years, you better have been an MVP or something, or damn near close to it.
Yeah.
That times are a changing, but I still don't feel awesome. There's nobody else on the roster right now that I would feel awesome about giving an extension. Joe Mixon is one that it's going to get interesting after this season. He's signed through 2026, but he's an aging running back, and I think you can't. It's not like he had the kind of season where you give him a Saquon Barkley type reward.
No. I mean, and even at the contract he's at now, Jonathan points out he's a top 10 paid running back, even on the $8 or $9 million a year he's making right now. I think that the wild card with Joe Mixon is he is an influential voice in that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's so So is that something where if he's going into a contract year and he wants a new deal that you're gonna have to deal with, you know?
CJ Gardner-Johnson's an interesting one because you trade for him, so he comes here on a contract, and you always wonder if a guy's going to be happy playing on the contract he's on or not.
Yeah.
The fact that he's been on four different teams of five different stays, is that the correct number?
Yeah.
I think there's something about you got to give it a year with him and just see exactly if there is a shelf life on CJ Gardner-Johnson or not.
Yep. Those are the names. Joe Mixon, CJ Gardner-Johnson, Christian Harris I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole and a contract extension right now. Unless they're really comfortable with his injury and you feel like you can get him at a discount because it wasn't just last season. He missed the first half of his rookie year, too.
The tough one, in a lot of ways, I would look at him almost like Brevin Jordan.
Yeah.
In that you've got a small sampling of what you think you can do with him. But, you know, Brevin Jordan was injured last year, and they ended up agreeing to an extension with him.
Yeah.
So there's upside there. But I feel like with Christian Harris, the ceiling for what he could potentially make if he starts for an entire season and plays and delivers on some of the promise that he showed 2 years ago, I think the upside for him is so high that it's unlikely that they come to terms.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he ends up signing a deal that the Texans are comfortable with.
I think he becomes a free agent at some point, honestly. And then he lists Titus Howard. I would let that one play out as well.
The Christian Harris one, it's an interesting competition between him and Toa Toa.
Yeah.
That I think a lot of people aren't necessarily thinking about because Toa Toa ended up starting the whole year last year.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Harris, theoretically, I think, can be better in pass coverage than Henry Toa Toa probably has the ability to do. Christian Harris is just a different type of athlete. And that's where a lot of the competition is going to come during training camp is, all right, how do these guys look in coverage?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe some of these guys, you know, like Damian Pierce is one of them that Jonathan lists here. You know, some of these guys, they did it with Davis Mills. They did it with Brevin Jordan, as you mentioned. Just tack one, you know, if you get them and they've got a year left on their deal, tack one more year on at a reasonable amount if they're amenable to that. Like, I think part of getting a group of guys together like this, part of what you target in players, if the Texans, they are hyper-targeting things like love of football and chemistry and camaraderie, is you are more inclined to try to find some way to keep guys like that. And I don't know that that's always good. You fall in love with your own guys maybe a little too much sometimes. But we'll see. I will see. I think the extension window is closed, but maybe one of these guys gets something between now and the start of the season. All right, we mentioned this in the previous segment when we were talking about Raphael Stone and the Rockets. The love for Amen Thompson right now around the NBA just continues into the offseason where we even have one particular NBA voice answering, who is the next SGA? The answer, Amen Thompson. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Amen Thompson. We'll let you hear that. We'll hear from one of Amen's teammates as well. That's all coming up next.